Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, Andrew. Happy New Year. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you too. Hang on one second. So, feels like a good day to kick off 2024. With our weekly call, and so obviously we just had obviously consistently one of the biggest kind of data days of the month with US payrolls that just came out. So just as a timestamp, it's Friday, January 5th, and it's around 2:45, 3 p.m. UK time. So it's about an hour after payrolls came out. So first, let's dig right in. What your general thoughts on the Fed, on US economy, on inflation? And obviously your interpretation of the data that's come out this week, and how markets are reacting to it.
Cool. So I was really surprised by the Fed people in December. My job is to follow the Fed, not to tell people what I think the Fed should do. So I was surprised, which means I was not in sync. So what was I missing? What was I looking differently from what I was looking at? They pivoted, and I have a note showing very clearly that this was a big change in stance from Chair Powell. They pivoted against a macro backdrop, which in my view contained still substantial inflation risk. So to me, this means that they have a much narrower focus on inflation than I have. I tend to look at it in terms of resource pressure, CPI as well as PCE. I think they are much more focused on core PCE prints, which, by the way, is totally consistent with Chair Powell saying that we don't know what is Y star, U star, R star. You know, he's been very consistent. He doesn't have much time for models and for estimates. And it looks like those guys are really responding to core PCE prints very narrowly. And if you look at the last PCE print, it shows 6 months average inflation below the target, 1.9%, and a very steep decline, to be fair with them. And so I think what's going on is that number one, they don't believe that we have moved to a higher inflation regime. And so in this context, they are worried that the US economy is sliding back into a regime of underperforming inflation, which is what we had before the pandemic. And so I think they are looking at a cut in March as an insurance, not against recession, because Chair Powell made it clear he's not worried about recession. And there I completely agree with him. But most likely as an insurance against this return to persistently below 2% core PCE. And so, in this context, I don't think today's NFP changes that very much. First of all, the data is very noisy. So, yes, unemployment is down 10 basis points, which, by the way, was more or less my expectation. Wage growth has picked up. Which I well has picked up, has not slowed down as the market expected, which surprised me a little bit. But I don't think, you know, it's just one data point. If you look at the recent productivity data over the past year, you can really see a pickup in labor productivity. So I don't think this wage print is enough. I think what the Fed is likely to focus on is the next PCE prints. I think with the decline in energy prices, we're going to get again low PCE prints, close to 20 basis points, possibly below, which could further lower the 6 months inflation. And, you know, so today's data has not materially changed my expectation of a cut in March. And on balance, I see a 50 basis point cut still more likely than a 25 basis point cut. What will change my view? is basically the core PC prints up to the March FOMC.
Okay. So let's we'll get on the 50 basis point in a minute. But first, what is if basic inflation is cooling, whether it's temporary or not, and wages are holding fairly high, maybe even higher than we had thought. So can you see that continuing or no?
So the transmission from the tight labor market to wage growth has been very weak in this cycle. I've posted a chart. So that's clear. And I think it reflects the fact that we are coming out of decades of very low inflation and wage growth. So we have low unionization. We don't have mechanism for indexation. Also, because inflation has been so stable, wage negotiations have taken place at, yearly or bi-yearly intervals. So this data point could signal that the transmission is picking up, but it's just one data point. And as I said, there is a very clear increase in a trend. Not in trend, but in labor productivity, which, by the way, is consistent with my casual observations that when I go to the shop or when I go to the doctors, we have fewer nurses, shop assistant, receptionist, and so on and so forth, because labor costs are going up, and so businesses are doing their best to save on labor costs, probably not by not hiring. And in fact, what's interesting is that in negotiations with the trade union, staffing levels have been a really important part of those negotiations. So, is this increase in productivity sustainable? Probably not. But let's remember, we have a Fed that definitely doesn't want to be accused of being too tight. They don't believe that inflation risk are substantial. They are balancing the risk of being too tight with the risk of being too loose. They are looking at the core PCE print, showing them that, oops, maybe they are too tight. So I don't think, this wage print is going to, on its own, is going to change the big picture and their big picture.
Okay, cool. And then great, thank you. And then obviously a lot of people want to ask is the 50 basis points cut in March. Can you just kind of elaborate a little bit more on your rationale? And I guess what would change that to a 25, or what that would change that even to no cut at all in March?
Okay, so it's basically core PC and a continued decline. The 50 is the expectation that the 6 months average will show a continued decline or no increase. And it's based on energy prices because I believe that energy is a big driver of core inflation. I have the data to show it. We already know that December energy inflation will be down, will be negative. Based on my discussion with Viresh, and I strongly recommend that listeners read our latest joint weekly, as well as his inaugural commodities weekly. I think there is more downside than upside to energy prices. So I'm expecting the next two prints, which is what will be available by the March FOMC, more likely to show a continued slide in inflation than an increase. My certainty, my confidence, conviction is not super strong. I would say my probability distribution is something like 55%, a 50 basis point cut, 40%, 25, and 5%.
Okay. So if you were the market, you would be pricing somewhere between both right now. You'd be at like 37 basis points or something.
Yeah, just something like that.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. And
But
then
if I could just add, what is really important to realize is that the cut is not about hedging against recession. So if I was an investor, I would not change my position based on indicators of growth. It's hedging about against sliding back to low inflation.
okay, that's interesting. Yes, because I've seen from a lot of our clients, they say, so you must expect like some really negative growth prints. Forget about inflation. Like I think the question was really, so you must expect to see some like ominous threats of a recession in the next kind of month or so in order to get that 50 basis points cut. And your view, and you're somewhere between 25 and 50 in your point, but your view is that's not really what this is about. You still don't really see a recession. What you do see is a concern that we may go back to that low inflation, and that's actually not really what the Fed wants either. So,
100%.
okay.
And I would add another thing, which is super important for investors to understand, is that the combination of low inflation and strong growth reflects a supply shock, a positive supply shock from lower energy prices and from the administration opening the tap on immigration, which, by the way, is going to bring us Trump and inflation, but that's a 2025 story. So let's skip to the matter at hand. We are under a supply shock, which is good for growth and for disinflation, and very positive for risk assets.
Okay, great. Well, one question on the risk asset side. So I understand that low inflation, low production, no, I guess production costs, inputs, but if wages are high, that could put pressure on
On prices?
margins, or you don't really see that.
Well, no, because
I guess if there's less people needed to do it,
the
yeah.
people are getting paid more money, but they are producing more. This is what the higher labor productivity data shows. So it washes out, and I bet you that it will work fine for profits. You know, profits as a share of national income are still close, to historical high. I mean, they are not as high as they became during the pandemic, but not far.
Right. Okay, great. All right. So that I th think that's a big thing. A lot of our clients are going want to get those questions answered. So that's great. So for the week ahead, yeah, what do you see?
So for the week ahead, the CPI, of course, and I agree with the consensus, 20 basis points month on month for core, given that we have this decline in energy prices that is pulling down core inflation. That sounds reasonable. And by the way, typically core PC prints are lower than core CPI prints. So if the consensus is right on CPI, we're probably going to get another low core PC, which will further add, you know, to the Fed concern about going back to low inflation. Otherwise, we have the PPI. I agree with the consensus, small acceleration, nothing earth-shattering there. The NFIB, Small Business Optimism, I like that series because I use the hard data in that survey to confirm the services PMI data. So I'll be looking for that for some show of strength. I will post on it. Consumer credit, one of the reasons for my optimism on growth is strength of consumer balance sheet. So consumers have basically absorbed the higher inflation by decreasing savings and borrowing. And so I agree with the consensus that sees a small increase. What's very interesting is the increase is coming more from small banks than large banks in terms of credit, which shows that perhaps the Fed support to the banking system is working too well. But anyway, that's a topic for another week, maybe. And then the jobless claims, which have been very consistent.
Right, but that yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, nothing to, I don't see the scope for big data surprises to change my view next week. That's my bottom line.
Okay, awesome. Anything else for our listeners and
The negotiations on the budget, the Republicans, well, it's election season, so Congress people are going to the border and lamenting whatever there is to lament. So there is this negotiation on border, which, I mean, to be honest, this is an issue not just for Republicans, but for Democrats as well. But the bottom line, we have two continuing resolutions that expire, one in mid-January, one in early February. So the Republicans in the House are saying we will not fund the government unless the Biden administration does something to fix the border. Again, theatrics. Historically, the government shutdown have hurt the Republicans. And I think even the extremists in the House understand that the big prize is not shutting down the government, it's winning the White House and maybe Congress in November. So I don't expect a shutdown, or a significant shutdown. I mean, we will get the usual brinkmanship, but my view hasn't changed.
Do you envision some type of deal for funding for Ukraine and Israel tied in with focus on the border? I guess that's what Republicans want. And my understanding is that it's fairly close with the White House. Now, White House has to deal with the hard left, but do you see something like that happening or no?
So I tend to focus narrowly on on the U.S. economy, so more on the government funding than on U.S. foreign policy. And on the government funding, again, the incentives are for everybody to, make a big show of lamenting the faults of the other side, and then everybody agrees. And I don't see a change to that scenario.
Okay, great. As we always like to do, just highlighting a few kind of back in the saddle for the first week in January, some interesting pieces on some new ideas in on global rate side. We've moved around a few trades, a few nice profit trades in the emerging market space, including in rates in South Africa, kind of moving around some of our risk in across Asia FX, trading from Mirza and the team. Ben had a fantastic call on Scandies in Nakistocki, which I know, which was not just a really good call, but also a lot of patience, and have gotten great feedback from clients there. And obviously a bunch of interesting stuff from you, interesting stuff that Leon Ding continues to produce, and focusing deeper on China and better understanding kind of are there any green shoots? Is there the kind of measures over the last kind of 1 to 2 months to try and help the property market there? Is there having an impact? Some really interesting stuff. And so we recommend for people, if they haven't seen it, please reach out. We also will be restarting our weekly markets call, which I know you're always on it, next Wednesday, London afternoon, kind of late morning New York time. And anyone recommend everyone to kind of listen to that. We're also looking about getting transcripts for that as well. But obviously it's best to try and listen in. But also make sure that people, you can ask us questions to address during those calls. So, and I mean, I know any parting words from you, I would just wish everyone the best of luck. You know, these markets are they're never easy. But hopefully we're helping you guys and making a difference in your kind of thought process and trading and marketing. So any last.
I'm just glad we are back. This is going to be a super exciting year with many flip-flops on many quarters. I hope we can be helpful, and I really would like to wish the best to our listeners.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Good luck. Thank you, everyone.